You will turn to the book of James chapter 4. James chapter 4. All right, as a blessing, and I appreciate the help during the business meeting. That's important that in the church everything be done decently and in order, and these things need to be kept up with. So I appreciate the help there, and I had my plans changed just a little bit today, and I was sort of stressing about it because I spend a better part of the day, or maybe more sometimes, studying for about everything I do, and so today I had a little something come up, and I didn't get to study like I wanted to, but I got to looking at this in James chapter number 4, verses 11 and 12 is what we're going to read. And what a simple little message here that we find in the Word of God. And so we're just going to deal with these two verses tonight and pray and ask that the Lord would help us. James chapter 4 and verses 11 and 12. And I always desire your prayers, but let's read these two verses. And I'll give you what the Lord has given me tonight. James chapter 4, verse 11 and verse number 12, the Bible said, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver, who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another?" And then verse 13, he gets into another subject. He's talking about something else. So he's sort of finished something in verse 10. Remember, we spent 2 weeks, verses 7 through 10. He's talking about humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord in verse 10, and he shall lift you up. But in verse 13, he goes to talking about the business men and plans that people make. So verse 11, verse number 12, they sort of stand alone, and we'll look at these two verses by themselves. But we've all heard of preachers who've been accused of harping on something. Maybe you've heard a preacher and he tends to mention the same thing all the time, or maybe he's got a something that he harps on or preaches on, maybe something like that. Well, I used to know a preacher, and he was labeled the TV preacher. And it wasn't because he was on TV, but it was because every time he preached, no matter what he was preaching on or where he took his scripture from out of the Bible, he would preach on TV. I mean, if you heard him preach much, you'd think that TV was as bad as it is. And he'd let you know about it, about how television and people started calling him the TV preacher, because that seemed like that's all he ever preached on. He preached against television. Well, James, he might get accused of being the tongue preacher, because more than one time here he's mentioned the tongue and about how we talk. And example, chapter 1, verse 26, he said, "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." Well, he's already covered that. We ought to bridle the tongue and watch what we say. Well, chapter 2, verse number 12, he said, and I'm not going to read the verses surrounding it, but this little phrase here, "So speak ye, and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty." So what he's saying there in chapter 2, verse 12, he's talking about how you speak and what you do. "So speak ye." And these are just a couple of examples. Well, chapter number 3, verses 1 through 12, all of that's about the tongue. And we spent several weeks dealing with that and what the Bible said there. For example, verse number 6, James said, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell." So now James, he is hard on the tongue. And then here in chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, we think he's moved on to something else, but here he brings it up again. So, and these are short chapters. I mean, we're not talking about a lot of, like the book of Isaiah, we're talking about a little short letter in the New Testament, and he is over and over talking about the tongue. Well, let's see what he says about it. It is a little bit different from what he said before. And verse number 11 starts out like this, and it says, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren." That's just a short sentence to introduce what he's talking about. We could call this the title of verses 11 and 12. That covers the whole subject, that first little sentence. "Speak not evil one of another, brethren." And so he goes on, and we could say, what's this talking about? Speak not evil. In verse number 11, he says, "He that speaketh evil of his brother." The subject here is speaking evil. "He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law." So three times this little phrase that uses the word speak not evil or speaketh evil. That's what he's talking about. Now, you study this out and look at what that means. The words mean to be a slanderer. Or another word along those lines, a traducer. Now, I'd never heard that word before except in this verse. But a traducer means to be a slanderer. He's talking about the subject of slander. Slander means to speak against or to speak evil of. That is what verse 11 and verse number 12 is dealing with, is the subject of slander. Now, I use my Webster's 1828 dictionary, and if you use that word as a noun, it means this, a false tale. That's what a slander is. Speaking evil is a false tale about somebody. A false tale or report maliciously uttered. That means uttering something, trying to intentionally hurt somebody. Maliciously uttered. Intending to injure the reputation of another by lessening him in the esteem of his fellow citizens. And then the word slander as a verb, it said this, to defame, to injure by maliciously uttering a false report, to tarnish or impair the reputation of one by false tales, maliciously told or propagated. Now, that's what verse 11 and 12 is dealing with. James is, he's not talking about five different things. He's talking about one thing. One thing he's talking about in verses 11 and 12 is evil speaking. And if we study out what evil speaking is slander. Slander is intentionally trying to harm the reputation of another person. It's somebody trying to destroy somebody by what they say about him. That's what slander is. So that's what he's talking about. Slander is based upon false reports. It's based upon rumors. It's based upon false tales, starting a tale about somebody. That's what this is talking about. I heard a preacher recently, and I can't remember where it was, but it's been, I'm sure, within the past month, and it might have even been Brother Byron that told about a preacher, and he had tried to deal with something in his church. And the deacons of the church got the pastor aside, and they said, "Now, we don't want you dealing with this. You need to drop it." Well, the preacher, he didn't drop it, but they told him, they said, "If you don't drop this, we're going to start tales on you. We're going to ruin you." And the preacher, he didn't drop it, whatever it was. And sure enough, they started telling stories about that pastor. And sure enough, it ruined him and wrecked his ministry. Now, what they were doing, of course they were doing wrong, but what they were doing, they were slandering. They were trying to destroy that man's reputation, and they did. And so that is what evil speaking is. Now, There are four things in verses 11 and 12, four reasons to avoid evil speaking. We're going to see these four reasons to avoid evil speaking tonight. Number one, because we are brethren. Well, that's a good reason. That's what he said in verse number 11. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. Because we are brethren. We don't need to be involved in evil speaking. Look what he goes on and says. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother is what the Bible says. So because we are brethren, we ought to avoid evil speaking. It would really help churches. It would help us if we realize that as the children of God, which if you're saved, you're a child of God. We'd all agree with that. Well, if we're all the children of God, all of us in the church together, we're all saved, we're all redeemed, we're all in the family of God. It'd help us if we'd look at church as a family. We are in a family together. God has placed us in the local body of Christ, and we are family together. We are brothers and sisters in the Lord together. We're not this one against that one and that one against this one. If we're saved by the grace of God, we're in the same family. We are brothers and sisters together. It sort of turns me off to hear about the world brethren and sistering one another. But there's a lot of circles out here that they refer to each other, brother this and brother that. They don't know what it means to be a real brother. If you're not redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's a real family. Sadly, a lot of people out here, they are soured on church because of what has gone on in churches that ought never to go on in church, because we are a family. We're brothers and sisters together in the Lord. You know, once upon a time, family name and family honor meant something. You know, we're living in a day where the family is under attack. There's a lot of children out here in the world that they don't even know who their daddy is. I heard a statistic a while back, and it's awful. But they don't know. Families deteriorated. Families tore down. But once upon a time, family name, family honor meant something. If you wanted to start a fight, well, just say something about a man's mother. Offend his mom. Say something about his mom. Or his sister. And boy, there's likely to be a fight there. Why? Because men guarded the honor of their mother and their sisters. And I tell people that come to Watauga County, I tell them, I say, whatever you do, you better not get in the habit of talking about people. Because we're all related in one way or another. The people that's lived here and grown up here, everybody's related. And people that move to this area, a lot of times they're surprised by that. And I've told people that. You know, you can say, well, yeah, we're cousins here, and we're cousins here, and they're married to somebody, and so better not talk about it. There's a lot of family. Wouldn't it be good if we seen ourselves in the church as being the family of God, and not just Mount Lebanon, but other people in other churches? That's part of God's family as well. So there ought to be some family name and family honor among God's people. So the fact that we are brethren is the first argument against evil speaking. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 10, Paul said this. He said, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. God refers to his redeemed children as being in the household of faith. We're all in the same household. We're in the same family. We're to do good unto all men, but the Bible says, especially. Especially unto them who are the household of faith. It ought to count for something that we're brethren, that we're brothers and sisters in the Lord. So that's the first argument that James uses. Second of all, moving on tonight, we see this. Because when we are evil speaking, when we're involved in evil speaking, we are actually judging the law. Judging the law. Now, that's what he says in the second part of verse number 11, that second sentence. And this is one of them that you look at and you read and you say, boy, what does that mean? Look what he says. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. And so God says here that we are actually, when we are involved in evil speaking, we are actually judging, criticizing the law, the Word of God. And so what does that mean? What does the law say about this? Well, Exodus chapter 20, that's where you find the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 16, I'm just going to read one of them. One verse, it says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. So evil speaking is a direct violation of the ninth commandment. When the Bible says, when the law says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, what that means is, when somebody comes to you and says, did you hear about so-and-so? If they are tale-bearing, if they are bearing false witness, if they're telling something, they don't really know whether it's true or not. Our answer ought to be no, and I don't want to hear about it. That's a good answer. Sometimes ignorance is bliss. I don't want to know about everything and everybody and every rumor and every gossip and every... If you spend all your time being involved, you wouldn't have time for nothing else. Because there's a lot of it out there. There's a lot of talk. There's a lot of tale-bearing. And if what it means, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, that means if you were not an eyewitness to what went on, but somebody told you, you've heard it two or three or four down the line, that means you ought not to be telling it. There's a lot of things we tell. We really don't know if they're true or not. That's bearing false witness. That's telling something that you don't know whether it's factual or not. If we were not an eyewitness, we have no business saying or hearing. Now, if everybody cut out that, if you weren't a first level seer, what in the world could we talk about, you guess? We'd have to find good things to talk about. We'd have to find profitable conversation to talk about. If we insist on passing along what we really don't know to be true, then what we are doing, we are saying that we're better than the law of God. We are criticizing and judging the law of God because the law of God says not to do that. But if I feel so compelled in my heart, now I have just got to share this. I think it's important that my brother knows this. Then what I'm doing, I'm saying I know better than God knows. God says not to bear false witness. God says not to be involved in evil speaking. But if I just have to, you can justify anything. Well, I think somebody needs to know this. I think this person needs to know this. I think they ought to be told. Then what we're doing, we're saying, we know better than God knows. God says don't. We say do. And when God says don't, we say do, then we are guilty of what he is doing here, of speaking evil of the law and judging the law. We say, I know better than God does. So that's what we're doing, number two. We are judging the law. Number three, because evil speaking makes you a judge. That's what he says in the third part of verse number 11. Now when he says, judges the law, but if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. And so evil speaking, what does evil speaking do anyway? Evil speaking, instead of letting the law be the judge, instead of letting the Lord be the judge, we become the judge. We become the judge and we become the jury, because when we pass something along, don't you think we pretty much already decided this needs to be passed along? It has to be true. If you didn't think it was true, you wouldn't pass it along, would you? We've been the judge, we've been the jury, and we've been the executioner, because evil speaking, what it does, evil speaking makes a judgment. Let's say you hear something. Well, if you judge that it needs to be passed along, you've made a judgment there. Evil speaking makes a judgment. Evil speaking decides and passes a sentence. Sometimes people pass things along because they feel like that the person needs to be told on, needs to be told about, needs to be punished for their actions. So it passes a sentence. And it also carries out a punishment. Because when evil speaking goes on, it does punish the person that's being talked about. And so it makes one judge, jury, and executioner. And I wanted to read something for you tonight. I've had this little book so long, I can't even remember where I got it. But a lot of years. And it's an old book. It's Outlines from My Bible and Other Helps by Leon Marr. And I don't know anything about him. And I don't know, I don't remember exactly where I got the book. But there's a little story in this book. It'll take me about 2 minutes to read it. But I think of it. When I read it years ago, it made an impression upon me. And I wanted to read it to you tonight because it's right along the lines of us being a judge. And it's by J.B. Chapman. And the title of it is, I Saw Them Murder a Man Today. I saw them murder a man today. Listen to what he says. I saw them murder a man today. They killed him and picked him to pieces in my presence. It was gruesome and horrible, but I was powerless. My soul was filled with horror, and my mind loathed the spirit which animated the mob. But I could not do anything. I had never known the victim and could not judge of his guilt or innocence. I did not know the members of the mob, and they did not make any place for my interference. So they murdered the man and gave his flesh to be eaten by the beast of the field and the fowls of the air. And I was witness to the crime, although an unwilling witness. The man, it seems, was not a member of an alien race, but had once been a brother beloved. He grew cold or stepped aside, and a whispering campaign started. It came to the place where the interests of someone else were affected, even the interests of some who maintained that love toward God and men directed their motives in all they said and did. The point was reached where justice demanded that this poor man die. Some even came to the place where they believed that in order to save the cause, this soul had to be damned. The whispering increased to a murmur, and the murmuring was soon fanned into a frenzy, until some thought that they were doing the will of God when they slandered this brother, and they quickly branded all who refused to listen and agree as compromisers with evil, and the friends and partners of the man whose good name they were bent to besmirch. By such means they hushed the protests which threatened to arise against their cruelty. So like a company of heathen cannibals, this gathering of professing Christians cut off the poor man's ears, gouged out his eyes, plucked his nails, and finally crushed his skull and cut out his heart. Oh, it was terrible. Such is the cruelty of envy. Such are the ravages of slander, and such are the burnings of tongues touched by the unholy fire. For what I saw today was not the wounding and mutilation of that thing we call the body, but the marring and dismemberment of a man's good name by the rapier tongues of professing disciples of one who said, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. May some curtain of pity and charity close out further sight of this dreadful scene. And I've read that a few times down through the years, and I thought how true that is. When talking, evil speaking is carried out, it destroys people. It ruins people. It kills people. Maybe not physically in their body, but it can kill their reputation. It can destroy their good name. So it makes us a judge, a jury, and an executioner to carry on evil speaking. And then number four tonight, because is found in verse number 12, and we'll say it like this. Why avoid evil speaking? Because who are we to judge? Who are we to judge? And that's what he's saying in verse number 12. He said there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? See, that's what he's saying. Because who are we to judge? Now, I was studying about this and I thought about John chapter number 8. Most are familiar with what happened in John chapter number 8. It's the woman that was taken in adultery. I went back over there and I read that again today, and I was studying that passage of Scripture, and you know, those men brought that woman before the Lord Jesus Christ. They said, this woman's been caught in adultery, in the very act. What do you say about that? See, they wanted to see what Jesus had to say about this woman taken in adultery. They said, the law says she ought to be stoned. What do you say about that? And that's where Jesus stooped down and he rolled on the ground in the dirt as if he didn't hear what they said. You're familiar with that passage of Scripture. And he acted like he didn't even hear what they said. And so they pressed him upon it, and he put the question before them. He said in verse number 7, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Wouldn't you like to have been there and seen that? Here's these men. Maybe some of them already got a big rock in their hand. And boy, they're getting ready to let her have it. But he said, okay, he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And it goes on and it says, they being convicted in their consciences. They got convicted. Why? Because they were sinners too. And one by one, the Bible says, beginning at the oldest, going down. I can just see them there. One by one, throwing that rock down on the ground, turn around, go back to the house. Jesus said, stoop down, and riding in the dirt again, he looked up, and she was standing there all by herself. Woman, where are thine accusers? They had all left. If they didn't condemn thee, neither do I. Go and sin no more, I believe is what he told her. I believe that lady got saved there. But anyway, who are we to judge? Who are we to judge? If we were to be able to go into the courtroom of God, you know, there's only one law. There's only one lawgiver. There's only one judge. If we were to go into the courtroom of God and imagine in our minds if God had a courtroom, we could imagine that in that courtroom, of course, there would be the law. That is what we're judged by. He's the lawgiver. There's only one law. There's only one place for the judge to sit, and usually he sits at a bench behind the bench at that great big old desk. You know, if we could go into God's courtroom and see that law displayed there, and we could look behind the bench, who do you guess would be sitting there as the judge? It wouldn't be me, and it wouldn't be you. You know where we'd all be sitting? We'd all be sitting out there together as the guilty. Because the Bible said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now we can be in the justified category, we can be in the saved category, and we can be in the lost category, but we're still in the same boat. All we can say is sinners saved by grace. That's all we can say. So who are we to judge in the courtroom of God? Who are we to judge one another? We need to be real careful about what we pass along, even sometimes innocently, and we may not know or think, but we pass things along which actually the Lord would categorize as evil speaking. It's slandering somebody. Now, I'm going to close in just a second, but I want to say, now, that does not mean that sin is not sin. Sin is always sin. When you hear, don't judge, that doesn't mean sin's not sin. It doesn't mean we go to Ephesians 5:11 and scratch that out of the Bible. Ephesians 5:11 says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. It means to rebuke and point out that wrong is wrong. What this means is that we do not slander. We do not slander one another. We do not slander, period. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. God alone is judge. He's the one who will judge. We don't have to pass along things that will hurt and destroy other people. We should not do those things. And I, in closing, will commend the church. I've really not had a lot of problems with that down through the years. You hear something, best thing to do is say, I wished I hadn't heard that, but whatever you do, don't pass it along if you don't know. Sometimes things have to be dealt with. Best thing to do is not to know. Not to know. And so he says, speak not evil one of another, brethren. So there's good two little verses tonight to look at. And we'll get into, Lord willing, next week over in verse number 13. There's some good things in the book of James. I'm really enjoying it. You know, this we're going to look at is where people say we're going to do this or that. We ought to say, Lord willing.